One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
And the difference tonight is double woman.
Yay. Is that XXXX
it
chromosome?
Totally is. After Friday, we needed to redress the balance somewhat. It got very blokey there for
it
a
got,
moment.
Yeah, a little retroactive.
It was very 90s, actually, for a good three or four hours before they came to blows.
What, like, 1890s?
Yeah.
Or no.
Well, they were talking about, you know, Totty of the Week and all that stuff. I mean, we could do that if that's what the people want, but I don't think we'd do anymore.
Yeah, we'll do what the people want.
We'll do,
because we're people pleasers. Well, that's what ladies do.
Within reason. But given the fact that we're on Periscope, we don't really want to do what those people want.
Okay.
03444991000.
Point taken.
If you want to give us a call. We're just talking about that story that was mentioned in the news about Norwich Football Club apparently trying to de-testosterone the opponents by painting their dressing room pink.
Psych them out with colors. That sounds not very masculine to me. That is some deep sort of psyops there.
But you were saying they do that in prisons.
Yeah, that's a technique. I don't know. I mean, they do say that there's things like yellow. If you are in a yellow room, that makes you feel crazy and act crazy.
Oh, really?
They say red makes you hungry. And apparently pink calms you. I don't know if it takes away the testosterone. It just makes you mellow. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, some of those footballers could do with being a bit more mellow when you see them throwing themselves around like idiots.
But I would suggest that they throw their efforts and energy into perhaps just being better at their sport. So less on the redecoration tip and more like just do some jumping jacks and you know, kick the ball around. I was going to say throw the ball around because that's what we do in America, God's country.
What the hell's going on? There's a man coming in here. What do you want?
Look at this man.
Some keys.
I have a lot of...
Ash!
How you doing? All right?
Yeah. Do you wear pink? Do you have pink in
your
house?
Oh, I've got pink things, but not much. Yeah, not much.
Yeah.
What have you lost?
Keys, yeah.
Keys.
There are no keys here, my friend.
No keys.
You want to get one of those keys that you whistle to?
That's a good idea.
Go to the 90s. Again, the 90s are where you'll find those key rings.
Was that just a little sneaky attempt to kind of bloke up the show?
For sure.
They just sent that man in?
There'll be another one in about 10 minutes.
With all that facial hair?
Yes.
Yeah. It didn't work. He wears pink.
He does wear pink. He's the wrong one. I think they're going to soften us up with that one, and then they'll start sending in the big guns.
Do you have big guns here?
No, not really. No, yeah. They're all in the other channel. And they're not really guns so much as...
Pistols?
Yeah, water pistols.
Water pistols. Okay.
But bless them, they try.
Yeah.
03444991000. You can be a big gun or a water pistol. We'll be happy to fire you.
Yes.
Anyway, by the way, I didn't get fired. Anyone who is concerned about that, I can put your mind at rest. I tell you who we have got. We've got Rory on the line. Hey, Rory.
Someone the other side.
Hey.
Hey, you're in Edinburgh, right?
I'm in Edinburgh. Do you hear Edinburgh around me, Cass?
Hang on, let's have a listen. Yeah, the definite sound of Edinburgh.
Yeah, there's a little white noise going on there.
White noise. There's two policemen in front of me. And there's not a lot of banging or beeping or anything, but it's good.
No, Edinburgh's a very civilized place.
Earlier. Sorry.
Go on. What did you say?
No, it's okay. I said it was noisier earlier.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. So, what have you been up to, Rory? You're our Edinburgh correspondent.
Been doing loads. I saw Sarah Barron today.
She's awesome.
Show. She was amazing. She is like the dirtiest woman I've ever seen on stage. It was like, oh my God. If you like dirty women, go and see her. So It was seriously, it was really good. It was amazing.
Oh, I'm glad she did well.
Yeah, and I remember, and she remembered me, and I remember her saying when I called in, like about 3 weeks ago or something, and she said, "Come and see me after the show and everything." And then she remembered me and everything, so that was like enlightening and self-esteem inducing and everything. And I understand why Ian likes her, because you know Ian has this thing where he likes women who look a bit like men.
What?
You didn't know this until you were his best friend.
He doesn't like women that look a bit like men. What do you mean?
He said this before.
He likes women with men's names.
He likes, you know, Cary Grant from Cary and David's Pop Shop?
Yeah.
He likes her because she looks like a man. He said this before.
And what kind? Wait, what kind of man? Like, in what way? Like biceps, or just like a really square jaw, or an Adam's apple?
A sort of, I don't know, Kitty. It's sort of just a general. What?
A lump in her trousers.
Oh my God, that is there. That is there. Her whole thing. She's got a thing. You know what she does? She produces her porn story that
right.
she wrote when she was 13 years old.
I'm intrigued.
And she produces it.
She's
on
great.
The stage. She's amazing. She's got like 4-star reviews, but it is the dirtiest show you've ever seen.
I hope she takes it other places, because this is her first go, isn't it, Edinburgh?
It's her first go, but I think she's got like 5 4-star reviews, and she's done so well. She's
good.
She's amazing.
Good.
She's really, really good. It was such a good pick to have her on the show.
Are you seeing other acts while you're up there?
I've seen loads of great acts. I've seen Dana Alexander, who's a Canadian of Jamaican origin, and she is so funny. She's brilliant, like about relationships and people and so many things. She had this thing. She's called Dana Alexander.
Yeah.
But she said a Scottish person said to me, your name is Scottish, and how'd you get that? And she was like, slavery.
There is that. It's the thing that links us all together.
And I saw Jollyboat are fantastic. They do parody songs. They do a version of Park Life.
Oh yeah.
Where like all it's based on a pub quiz where all the answers rhyme with Park Life. It's stunning. I mean, I've been going to Edinburgh for like 8 years, and this is the best one ever, because I'm bold and I know what I'm doing. I don't have any shame anymore. So.
Well, and also I guess now you're cutting right through all that, because there's a lot of stuff to cut through in Edinburgh. I mean, I've only been the once, and I can see how you would get completely overwhelmed by the amount of choice there, and also the number of people doing stuff in the street and trying to sort of coax you in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to go and see stuff. And before you know it, you kind of miss the stuff that you really wanted to see.
Yeah, Rory, what's your Edinburgh hack? Like, how do you focus in on just the good stuff, on the tenderloin?
Here's the thing to do. I went to a show by Dalia Malek. It's called The Interruption Show. And the deal is that Dalia and Colin Chadwick are on the stage and they do their bit. Then the next thing is that they introduce like 4 different comedians. Mm. So they had Eleanor Tiernan, they had Dana Alexander, they had 2 other people I can't remember. But they like interrupt them and ask them basically interrupt their set.
Yeah.
And say, oh, can you elaborate on that, or can you tell me what that was about? And if you go to compilation shows, basically is what I'm trying to say, you'll see like 10 minutes of somebody's 1-hour show, and then the next day you're going, I'm going to their show, and they'll tell you what their show is at the end. So anybody who's like going to be in Edinburgh for the next, you know, I think it runs until Sunday, so you've got all week, just go to a compilation show maybe on the first night, second night, and then you'll see some of those people. I think that's my Edinburgh hack, Katie.
Yeah, let's be honest. Some of it is, I mean, there's a lot of like amateurish stuff there, because that's the whole point. You know, it's supposed to be people trying out. It's not supposed to be tried and tested comics going and doing their things, although that does happen still. But there are some real gems, aren't there? We saw a thing last year when we were in Edinburgh. Was it last year or the year before? It was a one-man show about Charles Hawtrey from the Carry On films.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. Yeah. And we were sitting in what was essentially, what looked a lot like an old classroom or an old lecture theatre. theatre. We're all in rows with desks in front of us. It wasn't the most comfortable thing, but for that half an hour, hour or whatever it was, we were completely lost in this world. And it was just one guy, one set. He was just fantastic. It was amazing. And that's the thing. You're seeing shows all over the city in the weirdest places, but there's some real talent there.
It's a smorgasbord of inspirational creativity. We're just out of Paul Foote's show.
Yeah.
He was stunning. He's part of a growing collective of people in the British media who have a problem with Greg Wallace. And that was like about 10 minutes of his set.
Well, Greg Wallace, the lover of the big spoon from the cooking shows.
From the cooking shows, yeah. And he has about 10 minutes in his show, which is anti-Greg Wallace. He was so concerned about Greg Wallace that he compared it to a certain movement against sexual harassment that's been going on for the past year.
Wow, really?
So, he said he wants, by this time next year, for his hatred of Greg Wallace and getting Greg Wallace off TV to be as big as the Me Too movement.
Wow.
So that's what we're doing.
Wow. So, rage.
He really does not like those shows.
No.
He doesn't like Greg Wallace. And a lot of people don't. Leon from Gogglebox didn't like Greg Wallace either. And Nick Abbott doesn't like Greg Wallace.
I don't mind Greg Wallace.
You know what? Greg Wallace needs to go up to Edinburgh and do a rebuttal show.
He does.
He needs to. Yeah, Kitty. You're right. He totally needs to. Yeah.
Maybe you could take Nick Knowles to do the sort of be the house band.
That would be amazing. Yeah, actually, you know what? Talking of Nick Knowles, Sarah Barron has a wonderful bit about Michael Bolton.
Oh, God. I love that man.
Oh, my God. He featured in her pornography when she was 13.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose he did look a bit like Fabio at that time.
He was. He just looked like a big, like, carved out Easter Island head.
with a beautiful wig on top.
Yeah, with a, like, flowing, meadow just springing forth from
Although,
his brow.
Did you ever see that Netflix special with him? Michael Bolton's romantic Netflix special?
No, I missed that,
It
Catherine.
Was amazing.
Why?
Because he took the piss out of himself for an hour.
He was a cool guy?
Yeah, he's really cool. You'd like him. Maybe it's now he's lost the mullet. Maybe that's what the power was. But yeah. It's well worth having a look for if you can. It's so funny.
He just looks constipated when he's singing. I don't like that.
How can we be lovers when we can't be friends?
How can we roll and not something about making amends then, isn't it? I think.
Don't pretend you don't know all the words, Rory.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's been rolling around my head all day. She played it at the end of her show today.
I want to see that show now.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, come to Edinburgh. Yeah, come. You've got like Saturday and Sunday after you do the week.
What's it called? Do you remember what it's called?
It's called For Worse, F-O-R-W-O-R-S-E.
As in for better, for worse.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, she's so
and
good.
And there are, it's like about marriage and relationships and masturbation.
Oh, I have varying skill sets with all three of those. So
tick.
It speaks to me and I need to know, I need to go and compare some notes.
She's so good. I hope she does something closer to where we are. Thanks very much for giving us a ring, Rory. You take care. Enjoy the rest of Edinburgh.
Have a great week.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Good old Rory. 03444991000 if you want to give us a ring. I did see something about Nick Knowles, actually. We've been talking about him there. He does come up a lot on this show.
Does he?
Because he's a man who seems to take himself very seriously. And of course, that will leave him open to, ridicule, let's be honest.
Why do people take themselves? Like, there's... I was just doing a show. I was in LA for the last couple of weeks doing some filming for a BBC 4 show that's going to pop up next year. And we're looking at a lot of American artists from the 70s and 80s. And one of the bands, Hall & Oates, they take themselves very seriously.
Do they?
Yeah, they do it very seriously. Like, no sense of humor. Like, all business, you know, songcraft, technique. You know, hard work, that's all great, not knocking it, but they're just, you know, not a hint of self-deprecation.
Well, even though for most of us, they are kind of fun.
They're all about the fun times. It's the music that you play. Like, in fact, I think that John Oates's mustache has a Twitter account or something like that. Like, people love to, you know, it's like fan fiction. Like,
yeah.
People like to deconstruct the personas. And they're not real happy about all of that. They're like they'll sort of tolerate that sort of level of fan fiction and fun, but they're not embracing it.
Do you think it's because they feel like their art is more serious than? Do they? I wonder whether they feel like people take the mickey out of them.
Well, I think
their art is serious business to them.
I think the thing is, I mean, they're
whereas Lionel Richie seems to have fun with it.
That's a great example, because the thing is both Lionel Richie and Daryl Hall and John Oates as a duo are wildly talented,
yeah,
and have made masterworks of pop music over the decades. So, you know, no flies on those guys. But yeah, you think that they could unclench their buttocks a little bit, Hall and Oates.
It's a shame, isn't it? I interviewed Alvin Stardust once, and I thought he'd be fun.
Yeah.
Wasn't.
Oh, you know what? David Cassidy also kind of, he used to be pretty uptight about things. William Shatner, the same way. And I guess there is that thing where they get defensive because pop culture is pop, and it's perhaps seen as disposable, but it really isn't, because it's embedded in our DNA over the decades. And we still love, I mean, I still love the Partridge Family because I listened to them nonstop when I was a kid.
Well, there's a theory, isn't there, that pop music is silly and for girls until like 20 years later when the guys decide that actually it was quite cool. And then all of a sudden they know more than the girls who followed them absolutely religiously, that whole thing.
Thank you so much. That is exactly it. And then they deconstruct it and get all... explain it to you and get all egghead, meathead about it.
I feel it's a real shame. And pop music, you know, my parents would always say, oh, this is crap, you know, that you're listening to. And you go, well, it's not supposed to be music you sit and listen to. It was supposed to be music that was on at parties. It's in on the background. It's to make you dance. You know,
and it's not for you, Mom and Dad.
No.
And so what about this Nick Knowles character? So you're saying...
Well, okay, so you know he had his own album that he made. I think his brother was in the band and stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of smacked of someone who...
Try hard?
Someone who no one said no to.
Okay.
Someone who no one said, do you know what, Nick? Maybe this is just for us, for fun, for home. And it went on the Amazon, charts and stuff, and it was very quickly reduced, and people laughed at it a lot. And he did try very hard. He made some videos.
Yeah.
Look them up if you ever want to laugh. But here's another thing that he don't mess with him when it comes to cafeterias.
Oh, what?
Television presenter Nick Knowles called something of a social media stir when he posted 40 tweets about a cafe after they told him he would have to wait an hour for a sandwich. To be honest, an hour for a sandwich is excessive.
It is excessive. But
also, this is a man who can redecorate your house in 15 minutes.
Why can he do that?
DIY SOS, you see.
Oh, okay, all right.
So he knows about budgets and he knows about time.
He knows about how to budget your time.
The DIY SOS presenter vented his frustration on Twitter following a visit to the Curious Cafe in Cheltenham on Saturday. He did not wait for the sandwich because he had an event to attend, he said.
Right.
Knowles, 55, in case you were wondering, said, I'm surprised anyone in the food business would think asking any customers to wait for an hour for food is okay. Any customers meaning, and I'm a special
did
one.
Did he actually, I wonder if he said, don't you know who I am? Did he say
I can
that?
I almost guarantee he did.
Yes.
The Curious Cafe responded by pointing out it has a very small kitchen and only two chefs, adding its food is the highest of quality. But Knowles, who did not wait for the meal, replied, yeah, I can see that. And people love the place, but tables were free. Perhaps less tables, a more prep space solution? He's trying to get himself a job.
He wants to be a prep chef.
Well, he wants to make them a nice workbench.
Yes.
The restaurant said the garden tables were completely full. Until we can expand our kitchen at peak time, there will be a wait.
Okay, they're both jerks. I mean, he's a bumhead, and they're just bad at their job. They can't make a sandwich in an hour.
An hour. I mean, what kind of sandwich was it?
There's some deficiencies being bandied about there from both parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Much as I hate to admit that maybe...
But wait a minute. 40 tweets from him about
40 is excessive, right?
Okay. This is what psychologists call, and perhaps our psychologist who listens in can opine on this matter, but displacement. There's something else that's eating at him. What is it? Perhaps it's the fact that nobody liked his music.
Well, he loved it, but nobody else did.
But he took it out. He took it out on the sandwich makers, who admittedly are not a very dab hand at making sandwiches.
It sounds like they do need to butter a bit faster.
They need to get that knife in and out, in and out, in and out.
Hello, Hugh.
Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I'm happy to hear Katie back on the show.
Oh, thanks, Hugh.
And I was wondering about accents, particularly Katie's accent.
Yeah, I'm wondering about it. Help.
Do you have to do anything to preserve your, you know, because you've lived in the UK for a long time, on and off, but, you know, you still sound just the same as you always did.
But do you?
Well, here's the thing. That's a great question. And I'm always interested in accents and the way they morph. So when I have occasion to review various TV and radio shows that I did in the 90s, I'm always struck by the fact that I think I sound transatlantic, like more transatlantic then, and almost like a little camp. I don't know.
You mean transatlantic or mid-Atlantic?
Mid-Atlantic. Well corrected. Sure. Gotcha. But a little bit like I have one foot in both camps is what I'm trying to say. So I did go back to L.A. I lived in Los Angeles for 12 years from 2000 to 2012. And I think that I reinforced my natural American accent and, in fact, got more confident with it. Because when I first moved here in the 80s, I think I felt a little less than, like, mm-hmm. you know, the British accent or all the accents that you have are really cool. And I, you know, my sound in my own head stuck out like a sore thumb. So
but
I
you
think
were a kid as well then.
Yeah, I was younger and I thought I was sort of trying to blend in. But now, yeah. So, but to answer your question, I think it's about confidence. I think you just get used to, like, yeah, this is how I sound, and I'm going to keep sounding like this. And the only time that I will mask it or slightly change my accent is literally British people cannot understand me if I say hall instead of hole or talk instead of talk. Like, I have to kind of ape a British accent for people to understand that I'm saying, you know, what I can't even say it, water.
My sister had problems when she lived in the States getting water. She would ask for water and get waffles.
Yeah.
Wafers.
Oh, yes. Does anyone, when you go to America, does anyone say that you sound British?
No, here's what they used to a little bit. I mean, one thing for sure is that my cadence and my inflection is more British than American. So I'll, you know, would you like some coffee? You know, that we would go, do you want some coffee? And so I kind of, they'll pick up on that. But really what I think people pick up on in America is they think that I sound posh, like a posh American. Like I enunciate.
Like a New England thing.
Yeah, like I've gone to a good finishing school, you know, a good boarding school, finishing school. So to American ears, I sound actually quite elegant and posh. And you guys think that I'm like a big old clodhopper.
We see right through it.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, thanks for calling, Hugh.
Okay.
Night. Bye bye. 0344-499-1000. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. You never know just where the conversation will take you. On Talk Radio.
I mean, very unimaginatively, both Katie and I have got quite a standard name, haven't we?
Yeah, well...
Are you a Catherine or are you Katie?
I'm Kathleen, but it's not unimaginative on our fault.
No.
But what is it, like, Katie, I used to be, there always used to be more Kathys in my class growing up, and there'd be a hand, you know, a couple Katies. But now I hear Katie all the time, like yelled at toddler. So I have a toddler name now, which is, I guess it's good. I don't have an old lady name.
No, when I was growing up, there weren't that many up north. And then we moved down south and there were quite a lot, actually, of Catherines. But none of them were called Catherine. They were all Kates and Katies and,
yeah,
like you say, Kathys and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But my great-grandma, Elizabeth, thought my name was Kathleen till the day she died.
Get involved, Grandma.
She used to call me Kathleen all the time. And it got to the point where I stopped correcting. I was like, okay, whatever.
Wow.
Exactly. It was no point.
I'm not on the ball, Grandma. Focus.
Hey, Happy Tree.
Hey, Kathleen.
Cheeky. We've had a bit of trouble getting hold of you tonight. What's going on?
I don't know. I was speaking and you weren't hearing it, so...
Oh, how odd. We can't have
that. I don't know what's going on. Maybe Brexit is not allowing British people to speak to the greater EU or something like that.
That'll be it. The onslaught has begun.
Yes. Nice to hear you in fine fettle.
Thank you.
With Katie as well. I remember you from the I've forgotten what the show was now. Was it the Tube? No, the Word. It was the Word.
Yeah, that's the one. Tube, yeah. Yep.
So yeah, I was just interested. I mean, I've been listening. I haven't phoned for ages, but I've been still listening now and again. But I just lost the interest in phoning any radio for some reason. But you sparked my interest by you were talking about invasion of personal space.
Yes.
Well, I have just left a job because of this that has been going on for about 2 years. And as a man, do I get to complain about sexual harassment?
Yes, yes, you do.
Of course.
Certainly, it's interesting. Well, it's interesting from the perspective that I now know what it is and how insidious it is, because you just can't prove anything. And
exactly.
You can't. You see... And it just totally, it just makes you feel very, unsure of yourself, very unshaky. I don't know.
No, I mean,
it makes you feel very weird.
A lot of its power is the fact that it's could be passed off as being in your mind.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's this horrible, but I mean, I won't go into the details of my workplace.
But was it a woman
I was a teacher. Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, being a language teacher, I'm always working predominantly with women, mm-hmm. because mainly women do languages. So I found myself the only male in the 8-strong language centre in this school in Estonia. I won't mention exactly where it is because it would be identified and I'm going to slag them off. Mm-hmm. But I have never encountered such corruption and lies, blatant lies. Like, am I so naive? The boss goes to a meeting and they tell her something. She then comes back and she has a meeting with us and she tells us, it's just a fiction. And it's like, oh, well, they said that and then they said that and this wasn't my idea. And the whole thing was her idea. And then she comes up and, well, okay, let's get on back onto the main subject. What she did to invade my personal space was touching, pressing into me when she comes up to my desk and looks at something on the computer and, you know, just kind of leaning into me. And I'm like, what's she doing? But when they start doing that, you just think, oh, well, maybe they're just leaning too far out. Who knows
yeah.
what?
You think, well, that was awkward.
And then it goes on and on, and you think, what are you doing? And then the worst thing she did, which was very weird, was that, you know, I'm sitting at a desk, so I'm at that height. And when she wants to speak to me, she came up to the desk and crouched, like squatted down and looked up at me and showing, you know, what there would be on view in that position. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? You're my boss and I'm here to teach people. I'm not here to flirt with, and you're married anyway, and I'm not interested. And what are you doing? And this is totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it turns out that she'd been going round the entire school for 2 years, flirting with all the militia people. And, maybe I've mentioned what it is now. And they were all completely enthralled to her miniskirts and high heels. And
right.
In the middle of a meeting, she would sit in the middle of the room, and just have our skirt like up at her waist, you know, the kind of thing where it rides up, you know, when you put, cross one leg over the other.
Oh my God.
And she would wear stockings that had a pattern specifically at the top. So that, and I'm thinking, well, we're not meant to see that. And so I had to leave that place. I was just, I couldn't take it anymore. But it was just,
it's an interesting thing you're describing, because, of course, you know, it's sort of like your typical reader's wives fantasy. But when you, it's happening in reality,
and when it's your boss
and she's being a sexual predator. Yeah, yeah, it's
but all those things you're talking about, standing a bit too close, pressing against you, accidentally giving you flashes. That's all standard predator behavior that men do, you know.
Yeah, so, it's a power play.
She's daring you to say something.
It is a totally power thing, because she was in cahoots with her superior, who is a high-ranking officer who can basically do whatever he wants. So she, we suspect, you know, he would do anything to protect her from everything. So we suspect that there was something, you know, going on there. And so she could carte blanche to do anything she wanted. And so I would go to people and complain and say, what's going on? And they would say, oh, well, that's just her, and, you know, just, you're overreacting. Why don't you just ignore it? And I'm like, no, I can't do this.
And do you think there's also an element of sexism as well, where it's like, well, you know, men can't be bothered by that because that's what men like.
No, you lucky devil. Fancy being able to get that. I mean, we've already got people on YouTube saying, oh, where is this office? He's like,
yeah, right.
But, you know, if it's happening to you and it's unsolicited.
There were some reactions like that. You know, it's difficult to be taken seriously when... And one time, you know how you sort of subconsciously react and you don't mean to.
Yeah.
So I was going through the same door as her at the same time. You know, I was going one way, she the other, and I thought I just walked through it, and she was like, "Oh, right." And then I looked at my position, and I'm like contorting my feet are on the ground, but my waist is like pushing away from her.
Yeah. Right. And body language.
This bent shape as I'm trying to walk as far away from her as possible.
Pretzeling yourself.
Oh God, you're talking about maneuvers that a lot of women will have found themselves doing over the years.
But
it's no less valid when it happens to a man.
I mean, do you? I guess you both have encountered this in your professional lives.
I have.
I don't know that I have in that. Oh, you know what? Some people take advantage. Who is that creepy racing commentator? Older guy with all the hair?
John McCrick.
Yeah. So I had to meet him once on The Word, and I went to shake his hand, and he did that weird, creepy little finger scritch, in the palm of the hand, which just suddenly feels really intimate and it violating.
Yeah.
And he was up for it, and it was most unwelcome, and it was on camera, so I couldn't react to it.
Was that the night you hosted the pig racing with Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Oh, it may well have been.
Oh, happy days.
Hey? That sounds blissful.
In a parallel universe.
Happy Tree, thanks for giving us a ring.
Experience the unconventional, the unpredictable, and the completely unorthodox. The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.